Today, I'm talking to Rebecca Paul. She is a Conservative MP for the Reigate constituency, which also includes Banstead. And we're going to talk about your opposition to a planning application to build 130 new houses on Cannon's Farm. Welcome to Radio Jackie, Rebecca. Let's talk about your main concerns. For example, was this land designated as a suitable site on the local plan?
Thank you for speaking to me today about this important topic. So no, right now this land isn't designated on the local plan. It's high quality green belt. It's also farmland. So we wouldn't in normal situations expect to build on this land. What we're seeing now is because of the Labour government's changes to the National Planning Policy Framework, we're seeing this push to redesignate certain bits of green belt as grey belt. That exercise hasn't been done in Reigate and Banstead. So the council haven't yet decided which bits of green belt are up for grabs, essentially, for development. And I also think it's highly unlikely that this bit of land would constitute grey belt because of the fact that it is high quality grade two farmland. It's also an important buffer between two villages, between Kingswood and Burghley. So it really is doing an important green belt job. I mean, there just really is many other bits of land that you would build on first before you would ever consider this bit of land.
I know in the NPPF they actually do state that they don't want villages to coalesce. They want to maintain a green gap between villages. So they're actually contradicting their own policy there, aren't they?
Problem is that they've referred to towns rather than villages. So actually, there's a little bit of a loophole where, when land is sitting between villages, that it could become more vulnerable than if it's between towns. Now, obviously, there are arguments we can make that effectively these villages are part of broader, bigger settlements, and therefore they should be protected. And of course, those would be the arguments we make. But this is the problem when changes are made to the planning framework and not properly thought through.
Yeah. Were the landowners contacted to say, are you interested in selling your land? Because I know that's happened here. Lots of landowners have been contacted to say, are you interested in selling your land for planning?
I don't know about the exact situation with this land. I think it's been owned for a long time by an overseas company, is my understanding, but I don't know the details. So other people will know better than me on that front. So I think what you often have is you have people speculatively hold Greenbelt land in the hope that we would get a Labour government that would effectively relax the planning rules sufficiently that this land would then suddenly be worth an absolute bomb. I mean, and that's the reality, isn't it? You build 130 houses on this, and actually there is a lot of other bits. If you do that bit, there's a good chance that developers would want to then do all the other bits around it. So, up to 1,000 homes potentially. They're trying their luck putting the planning application in. I think under the current rules, I'd expect it to fail because right now green belt is protected. It's not grey belt. So I wouldn't expect it to be successful, but it was really important that residents made their views known, and that I made my view known. It's not very often, I think, that I get involved in planning. It has to be a really, really big planning issue for me to get involved, because I have no involvement in the process. I have no influence. I am not a decision maker in it. But I'm particularly worried about this because it will effectively merge two villages, and it's one of the only bits of high quality grade two farmland we've got within the M25. It's just complete madness. It's complete madness of all the bits of land that we've got to think about building on this one first. We should be prioritising other bits of land. Brownfield ideally would be your starting point before you even consider land like this.
Yeah, infrastructure. That's obviously sometimes we've been told around here that you don't have to use a lack of infrastructure as an excuse anymore. So, I looked at it on Google Maps. There's quite a small little access road to quite a small lane. Will there be problems for the roads, for the infrastructure, for the road infrastructure? Because the government wants sustainable transport. That's not going to happen, is it, with this development?
Right, so it's accessed by Cannon Lane, which is basically quite a narrow track. And also, if you look at the location, although it's geographically close to Kingswood, in order to access Kingswood Village, from that site, you've basically got to, drive all the way round onto the A217 and back round. So it's not really suitable in terms of access from a road perspective. And then when you overlay things like the public transport limitations, public transport in our area is not the best. Kingswood Village doesn't even have a scheduled bus service. I mean, that's where we are with that situation. So I mean, I find it immensely frustrating. So I sometimes just think, governments, and I'm not just talking about this government, I'm talking about the previous government is guilty of this as well, of just thinking, oh, okay, if we just say that everyone shouldn't be using their cars and sustainable transport is really important, that it will just magically happen. But in places like, this area where I live, we are totally reliant on our cars to get around. And it's just absolutely absurd to not plan for that properly. So, you need adequate parking. You really do need investment into public transport infrastructure to support developments like this. But right now I'm just of the view it shouldn't even be a consideration to build in that location. So, not really getting into the infrastructure too much at this stage.
So the consultation's got in and that's closed. Have you any idea of how the consultation went? How many people actually put their views on the consultation?
But so the outline planning application was submitted, and when I last looked, I think it was nearly 600 local residents had submitted comments, most of which were objections, which you would probably expect. I suspect the number is probably actually higher. And now we're just waiting for the process, really. So it's now for the council to go through their normal planning process and make a decision. And I'm not entirely sure when we will hear the result of that. But yeah, waiting avidly for that.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Water companies are not statutory consultees for planning processes like this one. How is your water stakes where you are? Is it near a floodplain? Will the building of that land affect the floodplain, cause water to move elsewhere? Are you having those potential problems with it?
I haven't got into that level of detail with this planning application yet, but you're absolutely right that I've seen that issue with many other planning applications that have been approved. So things like flooding and drainage, to my mind, are never adequately considered. There's so much emphasis on building homes, which I understand. We do need to build homes, but we need to build homes in a sensible way that's not going to detrimentally impact existing residents. And I've just seen it in Tadworth in particular, where I am county councillor, where we've built all of these new homes with inadequate drainage. The existing drainage cannot support all of the additional water, and existing residents literally start regularly getting flooded. And then councils and the government act surprised when residents are not welcoming new development. I think residents are much more accepting of new development when it's sensible, in the right places, and adequate infrastructure is built in. So if they can still get their kids into the local school, if they can still get on the train, if they're not flooded regularly, then they're more willing to accept that situation. But the reality is the infrastructure needs are not adequately considered at all during planning.
So what I was also going to say, it fell on my desk this morning. Government framework gives direction on use of England's land. The government's announced England's first land use framework, aiming to better coordinate land for housing, nature recovery, food production, and net zero. Do you think this is going to be a weapon in your armament against this planning development? The government actually saying themselves they are going to consider how they should coordinate land for housing, nature recovery, food production, net zero, all the things that we've just been talking about.
I welcome if they're actually going to start considering that, and I'd need to have a look at the document, and the devil's always in the detail with these things. It potentially could be helpful, but like you say, it needs to dovetail with the National Planning Policy Framework too, so that they're not in conflict. But I mean, I would love to see a situation where we are prioritizing, farmland and high quality green belt that is preventing urban sprawl, protecting those bits of land, from development in the first instance, and really focusing first on developing brownfield, and developing, less good quality green belt that's on the edges. I totally understand why they've considered this grey belt approach, but it's just about not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. There's a careful balance here. So we all recognise we do need to build more, and we do need to make it a little bit easier, that the planning system has been overly cumbersome in some ways. But I just think right now it's going too far over, and areas like mine would just absolutely be destroyed by this. And the other thing we need to remember as well is they've doubled the Reigate and Banstead housing target. They've literally doubled our housing target, which is pretty much impossible for us to achieve. And what have they done with London, which is on the doorstep? They've reduced it. I mean, if that feels really quite political to me. So we are essentially building homes, and not for our children, our grandchildren, which people might be a bit more accepting of. Those homes will be filled with people moving from London, because actually, it's better value for them. It's less expensive than in London. It's relatively close by. So they have literally created an environment that incentivizes our beautiful high quality green belt to be built on, effectively to encourage people from London to move into, the home counties. And I totally understand why everyone wants to move here. It's beautiful, it's amazing. But it really just isn't a fair way of doing it. We should be densifying London. I mean, we've got this amazing tube network, all of the infrastructure's there. And guess what? Lots of people really want to live in London because of all of the employment opportunities. And it's really not as dense as other cities like Paris. There's
No.
so much opportunity in London. So it feels really, really unbalanced. They're basically saying, yeah, sorry, you take it all. You take all the downsides of this. We're not going to invest in your infrastructure either. You're still going to have terrible trains and hardly any buses. And London isn't taking its fair share. I mean, I
Yeah.
think we all understand we need to build homes. Like, I support the government's ambition to build homes. I'm not a conventional NIMBY in that sense. I'm not saying no to everything. Like I say, this is the only planning application in the constituency in my time as MP I have ever got involved in, because it just meets such a high threshold for me. So I'm not a NIMBY, but yes, they're just not getting the balance right. It's just fundamentally unfair.
And just finishing quickly, what type of homes are they planning to build? Because they all say we're going to build affordable homes, but we all know down the road the developer will say, actually, it's cost me an awful lot more to build these homes. Therefore, I don't have to fill my 20, 30, whatever percentage it is at now of affordable homes. They end up building big homes, unaffordable, which actually remain empty.
No, absolutely. And I can't remember the exact percentage that they're intending to do of affordable homes. But you're right. I mean, this is an outline planning application at this stage. I think we'll probably see, if it did go through, changes. It's difficult to really say what this development will actually look like at this stage. However, I am still very hopeful that it won't be approved, because it is on green belt, it's not grey belt. I struggle to see how the council, could approve it at this stage, but I guess we will find out. What we're probably seeing across Surrey is there's just a lot of speculative applications going in. So I think they're all trying their luck right now. And really, this should all be local plan led, because if it's local plan led, we can literally work through, no one wants to lose our open spaces, but But we all accept we need to build, and if we come up with a local plan, say, okay, these are the bits that we think it makes most sense. You know, they've got the right infrastructure, you know, they're not as high quality green belt, et cetera, et cetera. If we can build in a considered way that we have bought into locally, that is the way to do it, rather than speculative planning applications that are going to result in this piecemeal approach to development of our area, which just really won't make any sense.
Yeah. And do you have a resilient local plan in place?
So Reigate and Banstead have always been really strong on this. You know, we've always had a solid local plan in place, and they've been really successful in building new homes. Like I say, you know, not they've not been NIMBY about it. They've recognised that we need to build these things, and they've done it in the best way they possibly can in the most appropriate locations that we have. But obviously, you know, things are changing. You know, the council now do need to do this review of what constitutes grey belt, and in order to meet the vastly inflated targets we now have, come up with how best that we can do that. So they're going through that process now.
A spokesperson for Reigate and Banstead Borough Council has told Jackie News, as this is a live planning application, we will be assessing it on its planning merits against policy. We cannot comment further.